Good morning and welcome to Biblical Prayer Session 5. This is part of the Prayer Assist Fundamentals praying session, and we're glad to be able to be with you. We've had a wonderful time together sharing God's Word, and the subtitle for our training session is Enjoying the Power and Confidence of Scripture-Centered Prayer. So, you know, there's power in God's word. God's will is in his word. And so every believer, every leader, it's their goal and responsibility to be equipping their praying people to be praying from God's word. As a matter of fact, part of the subtitle today will be in one of the first passages that we will take a look at today. Before I actually do the recap and where we are, I think we'll just go ahead and jump right into talking about one of the scriptures that actually is part of this confidence that we're describing. So let me set up the PowerPoint, and you can go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 5. Anybody have any idea of where we're going with praying God's word? We're on the bottom of page 2 in our handout, and where we've gotten to, we've talked about prayer's relationship with God, that God's will is in his word. We looked at the example of Jesus being, when he was tempted by the enemy, he used God's word. We talked about different kinds of prayer, praying through the Bible, and did an exercise on praying praise, repentance, and intercession as we pray directly from the Bible. And we'll do a little bit of that with this passage. We shared 13 of Matthew Henry's Why Pray the Bible. And then last time we talked about the difference between God-centered prayer.
I'm having trouble hearing.
Oh. Does everybody have trouble hearing?
No.
Let me turn up my audio a little bit. Also, I'm in the area of the house where the heat just came on and everything. So let me hopefully.
Yeah, it's back.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I was mentioning last time we talked about the difference between God-centered prayer versus need or request-based prayer. And we'll jump right into this passage, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. If you'll turn there in your Bibles, what we'll do is we'll spend some time praying through this passage like we've learned. But would someone read it for us?
Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said
No. First John.
Oh, First John. Sorry. Never mind. Someone else.
Okay. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
Thanks, John. Why don't you read verse 13 also?
These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may know that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's a good one.
Okay, so this passage actually is set in talking about, you know, assurance of your salvation and things like that. So I don't want to miss that as part of the context. But what looking at 1 John 5, 13 through 15, what are some of the key points that you would pull out of that, John? What do you think John the writer is telling us?
Well, I think that's an exciting scripture. I tell people if they are questioning whether they are Christians or not, I always tell them read 1 John over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So asking things according to his will, that's the key. That's the biblical praying, his will. We'll know his will as we study.
Beautiful. I love that. And so if we were going to do our praying through the scripture, remember, we could do a three pass. We could look at this particular passage of scripture, and we could praise God for the things about that we see revealed in and about God. And then we could also spend some time in repentance for areas where perhaps we've fallen short of the truth that's in the scripture. And then we could pray that God would, make the things in this passage come to pass. So maybe there's four of us. You all have done this before, I think. So let's just walk through it and see if we can do this by parts. Is there somebody of the three of you who would like to take a moment and take one thought from this passage that's worth giving praise to God for? Sister Yolanda, you want to try that and take a thought from 1 John 13 through 15, 1 John 5, 13 through 15, and give praise to God. Pray a prayer of praise to God based on something good that you see in the passage.
Yes, Father God, I just come right now, and I just thank you right now. I praise you for your written word, Father God. I praise you for your son, Father God. I praise you to know that I have opportunity for eternal life. Thank you.
Good.
Did you want me to do sentence prayer? I didn't know if you wanted me to.
Well, go ahead, since we're breaking it into three parts, why don't you... take, again, 30 seconds and maybe pray, maybe multiple points of things that are worth giving praise to God. Maybe three or four different things that are worth praising God for.
Okay. Yes, Father God, I just come right now. I just thank you, Father God, because you're so worthy. You're so mighty. You're so powerful, Father God. Your word is so powerful. I'm thankful that you have written your word for us to read. I'm thankful for your son who is able to be with us right now, Father God. Thankful for knowing that I have an opportunity for eternal life, Father God. And I'm thankful for your confidence in knowing that you hear what it is that I'm asking, Father God, that you will provide, that your will be done with whatever it is that I am asking in your name. And I give you all the praises and glory for it right now. I lift your holy name up right now. And I ask that you just bless those that don't know you, Father God. Help everyone in the name of Jesus. I do pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen. And so right quick for all of us, Roxanne, could you pick out a couple things that are encouraging to you about how this passage describes, how it describes, what God is like or from these verses?
Father, thank you that you want us to have faith in you. So you describe your character in these things. And you say in 13 that you've written these things so that those of us who believe in your name will know we have eternal life. That's confidence. And then you go on to talk more about confidence. So thank you that you tell us about your character and you say, if there's anything we ask, according to your will, that you hear us. And that helps build our faith. And we know that faith pleases you, and it is impossible to please you without faith. So thank you that you instruct us in your character so that we know, as you tell us, to put our faith in you and on you, that we can do that because you're not a man that you should lie. So thank you for that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you very much. So again, let me switch a little bit. And as if we were doing a Bible study, describe to me something. So we've done our first pass. We've praised God. And so what we gain from this is that God hears us. We can have confidence in prayer that he acts, if we pray according to his will, then he'll hear us and he'll act and we can have confidence. So we can be confident in coming to him. Obviously, there are times when we don't fulfill that. What are some ways in which maybe we don't live up to the thoughts of this passage? And again, just as if we're doing a Bible study, you can just tell me what it is as opposed to making it a prayer. What are some ways in which we don't live up to this, what is described in this passage?
Well, maybe we just don't believe it.
Okay, good. So if we don't believe it, what do you think? Does that mean maybe we won't pray? Would that be one way that?
Yeah, or we stop praying
Mm-hmm.
and we don't trust him because so often, we go to God and it's like really praise and thanksgiving and kind of walking circumspectly and introspection, asking forgiveness and, just if seeing if you have anything that's between you and God, all these things, and listening should be really the bulk of the time, I believe, that we do ask. But that's, we've talked a zillion times about the laundry list. People don't prepare themselves to go be with God and go in the throne room of God, but to be with God and to wait on Him. And He already knows our request anyway. So if we give up because we're harried or hurried or whatever, and we really can't even sit and breathe and just want to feel His presence and be with Him and do the things, I'm not saying do A, B, C, D, and then he'll give you, E. I'm not saying that, but it's very easy to not persevere. And James talks about how important perseverance is. So as we get to know God and his character and we walk with him, we just have to trust him in his time. And I know all of us most likely have had prayers that were answered immediately and prayers that were answered took a long time. And I'm in kind of a season of that where things list literally 30, 40 years I prayed for are starting to come about. So we just have to trust.
And
I
anyone
think
else?
that
Go ahead, John.
when in Hebrews it says, if he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him.
Right.
And that's the confidence game. You need to know him to pray to him. And you
That's
know he's going to answer you. He will, I mean, there's people that teach prosperity, and that's not, he will give you what you need. Sometimes he'll give you trials to build your character.
Well, what let's make sure we're clear. What does this passage say about what God will do in response to prayer? What is how does this passage qualify, how God will answer prayer? Do you get the sense that God will answer any prayer by what you read in this passage or
No. Verse 15, if you take it out of context, that'll say that. But if you take it in context, we ask anything according to his will is the qualifier.
okay, good. And according to his will, that's where I was trying to get to. I was listening to a message yesterday about this, and I heard such a great illustration. So now I'm going to give the illustration two ways. I think everybody on the call today will understand the illustration, but maybe some of our younger listeners may not. He was talking about, it was Ray Steadman, a pastor from, he's a deceased now, pastor from Northern California. He was saying that, a lot of times they didn't have a lot of reading material, but part of the reading material that they had when he was growing up was a Sears catalog. You guys familiar with the Sears catalog?
Yes,
Yep.
I remember that.
And so what he said was, is it had so many different things in it. I remember, maybe, I don't know, an inch and a half, 2 inches thick, book of all kinds of different things that you can order and you can have. And he said, the thing about that is that you could not receive anything that was not in the catalog. And I thought, wow, that's what we're talking about, praying according to God's will. So let's stretch that illustration to talk about Amazon. Because honestly, you think you can get just about anything on Amazon. But let's say there was something that you wanted. And you went into Amazon and you searched for it. You wanted some, I'll just make it a male illustration. You wanted some blue colored suede shoes, size 12 and a half. And you searched and searched and searched and searched, you couldn't find it. And so it's the idea of you can't ask for and receive something that's not in there. And that's what people often do, is that they're asking for things that God hasn't said he will do and expect to receive them. Because what he said is, ask according to my will, and I will do that. So God's will is in his word. And so we can have confidence in praying about the things that God says he will answer. Another way to describe it that I use often is, if you were to write a check on the bank of heaven, so the check being your request, would God sign it and make it good? You know, God, you know, sign this check on, you know, giving me, you know, 3 Rolls Royces and a house on the hill that's worth $20 million in Jesus' name, right? Will God sign that and make it good and, you know, have it come to pass? There may be reasons why he would. But in order to have confidence in prayer that this passage describes, it's by praying according to his will. So that's the first of 6 areas that we'll look at, as many as we can get through in our time together. The way it's described on the handout is that the first prayer-focused scripture passage is that we ask according to his will. So we know that we can have confidence as we ask according to his will. So let's look at the second one. Let's go turn to John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. If you have any questions on that first passage or anything, let me know. We'll continue looking at now at John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. If anyone has it, then you can feel free to read it. Maybe somebody who hasn't read before.
John 14,
13 and 14.
13 and 14. Okay. I have it. I found it.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Verse 14. Yes. Ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This
Wonderful.
According to the NLT.
Wonderful. Thank you. In verse 13, this is Jesus speaking. How do you think Jesus describes, you know, what the kind of prayer that he will answer? What do you think is the result? Whenever you ask in my Father's name, that will I do. And what reason does he say he will do it?
Because he knows that the glory will be his.
Okay, so the New American Standard says that so that the Father will be maybe glorified in the Son. And so part of the idea that I wanted to bring out here, the reason why I asked the question is, you know, the result of this answered prayer that we bring to him is that the result will bring glory to God. So what are some of the things that, you know, you think we can ask for in prayer that would bring glory to God? You know, I can think of one. You know, how about 2 people are at odds with each other and they're unreconciled. So we could pray that they would become, you know, reconciled, that they would, forgiveness would flow between the two of them. And I think that would glorify God. What are some other things that you think of that we could pray for that the result would glorify God?
I think that if we take the principle and apply it to different situations, because so often we think that our situation is, you know, the thing that's impossible or particular. So, for example, we have something going on with a business thing and irrational, ridiculous, onerous regulations being put on a job, and it's hurting the owner, and the owner doesn't have money to, you know, take care of these things. So if we take the same principle and say, God, we want you to be glorified in every situation. So we pray for the owner to look to you for a resolution. We pray for the inspector that is doing this, and we go through each thing within the situation and pray for a resolution, like you said, for peaceful resolutions, that people will start looking for other solutions, and rather than getting angry and frustrated and yelling and making situations worse, that God would ultimately be glorified, because it would be obvious that he's the one bringing peace and resolution. So that's just what I see, is that the principles, they fit into anything. It's not just, well, so-and-so's sick or so-and-so did this and this happened. If we break it down and we think about it, there are ways we can pray according to God's will within each situation.
So tell me how you, well, maybe I'll just have you pray. Think of a situation where you want to see God glorified in, and, you know, pray for it, you know, about three or four different ways, just again, so we can submit it in our hearts, you know, how you're describing it, because you did it excellently. As a matter of fact, you're going to do the teaching of the rest of the class. You did that so well. So why don't you take a situation in your life that you'd like to see God be glorified in, and, you know, pray for it three or four ways as you describe.
Well, I'll start with that one. Lord, there's so many things that seem out of our control. And when we think about letting go of control, that seems scary. But Father, you are ultimately in control of everything. And in truth, we just have a perception of control. And so we acknowledge that and ask that you work in hearts and minds to bring resolution to different impasses, or that things that seem to be impasse and prevent us from resolution, whether it's finishing up a job or helping a client or whatever it is. So I pray that particularly. I pray for myself, Lord, that, you know, I've had trouble for about the last 5 years with a lot of things getting over grieving, and I've been stuck in acceptance. And I know acceptance is receiving what you've been given, which ultimately is letting go of control. And once again, you're the one that has all the control. So, Father, work all these things to your glory, please, Lord, because I want to be strengthened in you. I know in my head I have no control. I know that you control everything. Yet, because in our spirit we hold on to things, or we don't relinquish, or we don't receive what's been given, whether it's a difficult circumstance or something we have to deal with daily, it could be physical, it could be any number of things. But God, we want you to be glorified. I want you to be glorified in my life, so that I can ultimately share the experiences you've given me and show how you were faithful and how you were victorious in bringing me through these things. So I praise you for that. And I thank you for the scriptures that John was referencing. That's a blessing, Lord. Your word enforces itself. So we want to pray everything according to your will. And I pray that as we learn this, Lord, all of us, we will learn to stop and grow and see things your way, and that the Holy Spirit would bring your word back to our mind and give us the peace of God that passes all understanding. We would remember those fruits of the Spirit, and they would flow through us, and we would know how to pray for peaceful resolutions, for quick resolutions, for hearts and minds to be turned to you when there seems to be no answer, myself included. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. So, Sister Yolanda and John, how did you hear that praying? How does Roxanne's description of, you know, praying toward glorifying God, how does that help us kind of focus our prayers? Or but how did you hear that? Does that resonate with you? Just give me a comment or a feedback if you have some. Does that help us decide, you know, how we're going to approach, you know, praying about a certain topic?
Yes, it brought for me, it brought clarity and understanding that the acceptance of what it is that God is going to do, and for his glory, you know, to know that it is him that is in charge.
Mm-hmm. When we When I teach on intercessory prayer, I often talk about, when I'm talking about praying and listening when we're praying as a group. And what I challenge people with is when you prepare to pray or offer a prayer, in our minds, we have the opportunity, we have our own thoughts, promises thoughts. There's, thoughts of the world. There's thoughts can be influenced by the enemy, and our thoughts can be influenced by God. And what I've asked people to do is to, before you pray or as you pray, take a look at what you're hearing. And is what you're hearing, what if you is what you're about to pray, is that glorifying to God? So again, that's another way to look at, how we hear and think about, what we pray, so that we can know that's, those are the kinds of prayers that the Lord will answer. If you look at verse 14, thanks for your feedback, Sister Linda. If you look at verse 14, people have often, or I the culture of prayer that we are in, we sometimes get the idea, this verse says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And so I bet there are people in your prayer ministry or around you that think, if I decide to pray something and at the end of it, I say in Jesus' name, say the words in Jesus' name, that God's, he's going to bring it to pass. And again, we just want to make sure that we let people know that in Jesus' name is not just something you tack on to a prayer to say that, oh, the Lord's going to answer it. It's still the goal is for it to come into alignment with God's heart and God's desires. And then with confidence, we can pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. And can, may I make a comment, or you prefer I
Sure.
didn't? Okay. So I worked with a gallery owner. I'm an artist, as you know. Worked with a gallery owner. He had a lot of anxiety problems, and he had was not a Christian, and in fact, crazy, whatever lifestyle. Very, very opposite of Christians, but he knew I was a Christian. So he was having a lot of problems, and I had brought him some food or something. Just I had stopped by and was saying hi and brought him some lunch. And he was, going on about all this stuff. And I said, May I pray? I said, I do pray for you regularly, but may I pray for you now? And he kind of was dismissive and says, oh, okay, go ahead, do whatever you do. And I said, I'm gonna pray in Jesus' name. And he says, do whatever you do. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. He said pray.
Right.
So I'm gonna pray. So I prayed what I felt the Lord wanted me to pray, in particular his problem, and then I said in Jesus' name. And so I don't know, Thomas, maybe you can do something with that, because the name of Jesus is not only powerful, and like what you said is so accurate about people think in Jesus' name, now I'm going to get whatever I want or the answer to my prayer, so this isn't a problem anymore. But the thing is, we have the privilege of praying in Jesus' name because we carry his spirit within us. And I just want people to see that peace. And so, anyway, I just thought I'd share that.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, I think the other word that we want to bring up here that you all would know is that we're really praying in Jesus' authority. We are his representative. And so as we act using his word and his character, then we become authorities. And I really want to encourage us when we show up, as we're following after God, we become the spiritual authority in the space that we're in, just like Roxanne described. And so we started with confidence, and now we're talking about in Jesus' name. Well, we're the spiritual representative in the area. And, and when we show up, then there, people should know that. I mean, not a, threat or, that kind of authority, but it's just, kind of saying in the authority of God's word, his character, to glorify the Father, we're going to pray these things, and then, pray with confidence. So. Amen. And so the next passage that we'll look at, if you'll turn to John chapter 15, if I only had one passage to look at, distilling down all of the different co concepts of biblical prayer, the ideas in John 15 would be the most important to me as I would share them. So this is another, wonderful passage that talks about, God's word. So in the handout, the first one, I mentioned when we were talking about prayer-focused scripture passages is to ask according to God's will. The second one that we just looked at is to ask in his name or authority, like we mentioned. The third one we're about to look at now is to ask according to his word. So let someone read John 15, and let me see, are there other verses we want to read around that? Why don't you start at verse 1 and then read through verse 7, whoever has it.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you.
All right. So what's the John verse one? What's the prominent two parts of this story about a vine? Actually, let me give you some background. Some people think that Jesus used illustrations as he walked along with the disciples, and so they think that, you know, Jesus and the disciples were walking along, and Jesus felt like he wanted to communicate a spiritual concept to the disciples, and so he's walking by and he sees a vine. You know, hey, let me use this as an opportunity to give a spiritual, you know, illustrations about something. So, you know, here is the, so what's the first part of the illustration? What does he talk about in verse one? There's
true vine.
He's a true vine. So the first part is the vine that he talks about. And then the second part, he talks about that we are, how does he describe us in verse two? There's the vine and then the what?
The branches.
Branches. Okay, so vine and branches. And so the vine is effectively, what we're looking at is source. You know, the fruit, the strength, the vitality of this vine happens through the vine. That's which is in contact with the ground and nutrients and things like that. And then there's the branches. What would you say that is? What does the branch do as opposed to the vine?
The branch is attached to the vine. It goes from the vine, and that's where the fruit comes on the branch.
The fruit comes on the branch. Okay, good. Great. We're tracking here. So it talks about fruit and vine. Again, if you knew all about husbandry, you know it takes about 2 years for there to be a crop of grapes on a vine. You know, 1 year it puts out the, you know, the places where the fruit is going to be born, and the second year the fruit comes, but there's a process to prune it so that you can get optimal fruit bearing out of this. And that's what a lot of the rest of this passage says, is that there's someone who comes and takes care of the vine. And that's described as the Father. But, you know, the Father is the vine and, you know, the one who prunes it, because the ultimate goal of the vine is to bear fruit. You know, it describes it in three ways: fruit, much fruit, and more fruit. And so what's the primary, what did you say, John? What was the primary purpose of the branch?
The fruit comes on the branch.
Okay,
it takes the sustenance and provides fruit.
Okay, so if it describes it, if you went in and cut off one of the branches and detached it from the vine, would it be able to bear fruit?
No.
The branch is always also the structure for the fruit. There's no structure. How are you going to grow fruit?
That's good. So again, the idea, the word that's used in this passage to talk about what, you know, the relationship between the branch and the vine is abiding. So the Greek word for abide is the word meno, and that means to settle down and to be at home with. So it's the idea that it's the connection that we're after. So I have to tell you that often, again, I'm just talking about prayer and what we have to deal with when teaching prayer. I think often what people think when they're thinking about prayer is, I want to pray about the fruit. Lord, give me the fruit, give me what I'm after. When this passage describes that fruit is the natural product of the connection between the vine and the branch. And it's the pruning, what the pruning does is it allows the branch to be the optimal fruit carrier. Because the pruning that happens allows, again, for there to be fruit, much fruit, and more fruit. If you choose not to prune the vine in the best way, I don't know if you guys have done much growing and things like that. And again, people of these days are much more growers. Whether it's a tomato plant, whether it's a vine, there's so many things. If you let your plant grow lots of different fruit on there, so you got a tomato plant, and again, you got 20 little clusters, and if they all start bearing fruit, you're going to get a bu you know 20 little bitty tomatoes. So if you really want optimal fruit bearing, you need to prune that one, get the strongest ones, get the ones that are well positioned, the ones that branch can bear. And so all that work is part of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit working with us. And again, the ultimate goal for us is to be optimal fruit bearers. And again, I preached through John 15. It's a wonderful story. Ultimately, John 15:11 says that joy is the ultimate goal of us, being in this process with God. But it starts with just abiding, just dwelling in there. The illustration that I've used in the past is, if you think about an orange tree, you never walk by orange trees and have them say, well, they grow their fruit. That there's something that the fruit has to do in order to grow on the branch or on the vine. That's not where the impetus is. The impetus is in the connection, in the abiding. And so back to our illustration about relationship, how important relationship is. We really want to be encouraging ourselves and our people that God answered prayer comes from their connection with the source, with the branch. Are there other ways that you think about this that you think will be helpful to our conversation? Does that make sense, what I was sharing?
Yes, that was a really good point. Because we think sometimes when there's so many blossoms and little buds, we're like, oh, this is going to go crazy. But at that stage, if you don't pinch it, if you don't cut it off, if you don't do the proper pruning, you're not going to have much of anything, like you said. So that was an excellent illustration.
That's true. I've got like nine apple trees, and they haven't been pruned in a few years, and I'm trying to reclaim them. And what you find lots of little apples that you can't reach because they grow straight up in the air. And when you prune them, well, I'm hoping this year I pruned them for the first time. Last year I sprayed them, but when you prune them, then the good apples should be where you can get them, and they should be larger. And
Wow.
that's God takes care of the things in our lives that we don't need so that we can focus on Him.
Beautiful. So the idea, if we focus on verse 7, that we really want to focus on here is a whole all kinds of things, but would somebody read John 15:7 out of your version, maybe a couple different versions, so we can hear, how the writers describe it. This is the most, well, this is the important part of, God's word and prayer. So John, would you read it there from your translation, and then Yolanda?
Okay, so I got a King James and an NIV if you like.
Pick whichever one you want, or take them both. Yeah, give them both to us.
Okay, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
Okay, so that's King James. What does NIV say?
If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you.
Wonderful. How does the NIV help you understand what the writer is communicating?
So remain is the key. In the King James, you read abide and you think about that. Okay, it means something. But you say remain. That's it's so much clearer for me that you're there already, but you have to stay.
Amen. That's good. Sister Yolanda, are you still looking at the NLT? Can you
Yes, I
see
am.
that?
Okay, so it says, but if you remain in me and in my word remain, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. So when I hear that, I zero on the remaining in him and remaining in his word. And that's when the manifestation of me asking, and things will fall into place. Of course, he will grant me those things.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, give me an illustration, Sister Yolanda, of how would you play this out? I mean, is there something that you think we need that you have a promise from God's word that helps you when you pray? Can you think of an example of how you would use this in your life or when you're teaching your prayer team to pray according to God's words? I mean, I'm sorry, I caught this on the fly, so any one of you can answer the question. I'm just really trying to, for the recording, I'm trying to make it practical for people.
Can you restate the question?
We believe what the word says, that if we pray according to his word, then we'll receive what we're asking for. Give me a practical example of ways in which you use God's word, a promise from God's word, to pray where you can expect God to answer. Mean, we just did one in 1 John 5. So if there's somebody who doesn't know the Lord, or let me see. How does it start off? The confidence we have. Oh, so you have somebody who came down to the altar, they say they responded to the Lord. And so we know that we can say to them, if you ask the Lord to come in according to his word, then you can have confidence that he has come in. So that's an example of how we would use 1 John 5:13 as a part of the promise that God's going to answer his word. So I'm asking you if you can think of other scriptures that you use so that you can pray with confidence that God will answer.
So Thomas, in verse 15:5, it says, "You, yes, I am the vine, and you are the branch. And those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit." So the promise is that I would explain to a person that God is the vine and we are his branches. So if I remain in him, I will produce much fruit.
Good. So you could
I
use
will
that as a
pray.
you can use that as a prayer, when you're,
Right.
let's say, with your prayer team praying together, we're believing God for this passage, and so, find a partner and pray that God would bear much fruit as they abide in him. Is that an
That's right.
example? Okay.
Yes, I
Good,
was
good, good.
right.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make it practical, just so people could know that that's how you can use it. That's what God's word says, and we can
Yes.
trust that we can trust that it's true. Now, since Roxanne and I are both on here together, God gave me a song that goes through this passage that helps me remember it, even though I'm not sure that I would forget what the words say. So why don't I teach it to you right quick, and I'll sing something, and why don't you repeat it after me? If you abide in me,
If you abide
You
in
abide in me.
me, and my words abide in you,
My words abide
words abide
in
in you.
ask what you will,
Ask what
ask what
you
you will.
and it will be done unto you.
And it
And
will be
it
done
will be done unto
unto
you.
you.
Okay, anyway, that's a quick way to
Yeah.
remember those verses and things like that. How are you
I
guys?
know the Helen. I know the Helen Baylor.
Oh,
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will, and it shall be given. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will, and it shall be given to you.
beautiful, beautiful.
All right.
Thank you so much for sharing. Praise God. How are you guys doing on time? We started a little bit late, but we've got three more to go through. Trying to decide if we want to, which are the most important ones to. Why don't we do? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6:18, and then we'll finish with Matthew 7:7. So again, we've gone over ask according to his will, ask in his name, and the last one we just reviewed was ask according to his word. Ephesians 6:18, we're looking at pray at all times with all prayer. So I have it here. It says, with every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be alert with all perseverance and every request for all the saints. Does somebody else have an alternate translation for that for Ephesians 6:18?
Mine is different. It says, pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere.
Well, wonderful.
Yeah.
The New Living does a great job of breaking that down. So you're the teacher now, Sister Yolanda. Take us through the important points that brings out. What are the things that we need to be focused on according to Ephesians 6:18 and the NLT?
Yeah, so it says that praying in the spirit at all times, meaning, praying in the spirit of the Holy Spirit. And
What do you think that means? And again, I'm not trying to get, super spiritual or, prophetic or any of those kinds of things. What does it mean to you?
It means that my prayers are honest, my prayers are God focused, my prayers are spiritually led. It's not it's according to his word.
Good, good. John, would you add anything to that thought? What do you think it means when it says pray in the Spirit?
So pray in the spirit, I believe before you pray, you should ask God what you should pray. And He will guide you and He will direct your prayer. And that's, there's, of course, there's an issue depending upon your how Pentecostal you are, that could
Sure,
change a little.
sure.
But
No,
the,
at this moment, I'm not talking as much about the Pentecostal part. I'm just talking about
yes.
other ways in which you
That's
describe
what I
that.
figure, but the pray in the spirit, you think about before you pray, what you were saying earlier, you should make sure before you pray in a group that what you're praying is biblical, that it's not just a fleshly thing that you're doing just for yourself, ignoring those around you.
Let's see if we can approach it this way. What, how would you describe praying not in the spirit? What are some of the other influences that can affect how we pray? Let me give you, let me help seed a thought. How about, what if we're praying in the flesh?
Yeah, that's what.
Go ahead, Roxanne, pick it up.
That I was going to say the same thing, the flesh. Well, we want something to happen. The thing I was playing about earlier, we need this resolution to this particular job, to this particular situation, but God might have other reasons for things. He may be orchestrating divine appointments and things. So like John said, you stop and you think, okay, I mean, if we make a practice of abiding, which is remaining in, dwelling with, if we make that practice, then we know God's voice and we know his Holy Spirit. So then if we stop before and we say, Holy Spirit, would you please speak to me? Sometimes it's an emergency situation. Then we know what to pray. And sometimes it's not like we know in our head, we know in our heart. And we just go, I got to start. Okay. And then you pray. And the words come, and sometimes they don't make sense to us, but then they make sense to the person you're praying for or the situation, and God works it out. So I think it kind of all works together with the abiding, because you're seeking, you're learning his voice, and then you know his voice, and then you do what he said.
Beautiful. I can give you an answer, and I'm trying to see if we can get to this answer. When you're in prayer, when you're engaged with God, when you're trying to make decisions, besides the Holy Spirit, what are the influences that could affect you that you have to discern through in order to make sure that you're praying or acting according to God's will? You know, there's one part in the scripture. Well, let me just ask that question and see where you guys go with it. What are some of the potential ways in which we respond to God that wouldn't be following God, that we have to kind of discern through in order to be, you know, be being spiritual? So we already talked about the flesh. What else? What other voices do we have to avoid or work around in order to get to be praying in the spirit?
I don't know how related. I would say I could pray, Lord, give me a car, or I could pray, Lord, I need to get somewhere and I don't have the transportation or the need. I need for you to provide for me. So I would like you to provide for me some way to go,
yeah,
some way to travel.
So in that respect, what you're doing is you're giving God some room to do that. That's good. I'm talking about something a little bit different in the illustration I'm making. That was, your point was good.
So Thomas, are you talking about, okay, we could do it in our flesh, we could do it what other people think, what other people want of us, pressure, time limits, surrounding circumstances, is that what you mean?
Well, part of that, but who is it that we have to deal with in order to be spiritually connected with God that might motivate us to do things that are not according to God's will? I already mentioned the world. I didn't mention the world. The flesh. I'm tipping my hand here.
So you're going to say the world, the flesh, and the devil?
There it is. The world, the flesh, and the devil. There it is. And so here's what I'm saying is, let me just go ahead and say that I think a lot of people, especially prayer-related or spiritual-related, don't realize that there are other voices that we hear that are not God. And I think there are times when people believe if they hear a voice, that it's God.
Yep.
But that's not true. You know, it could be our flesh saying, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to do. And we often can respond to that, and you know it, that something happens, it triggers us, we get angry, boom, we're on it. You're not going to talk to me this way, blah, 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 blah. Flesh is just flaring up out of control, right? But here's another one, you know, we're back, let's go back to the garden. I mean, back to, you know, Jesus in the wilderness. You know, hey, Jesus, you're hungry, make some bread.
Yeah.
You know, that's the devil. And again, there are times, you know, as we get to know the Lord, you know, it's the devil. You know, hey, the situation is going on and People are at each other's odds and stuff like that. And so the devil says, why don't you take his side? Instead of doing what God really wants you to do. And so next thing you know, you're on that side. It's kind of like, oh, how did I get here? Kind of thing. And so anyway, world, flesh, and the devil. And so the third one that I mentioned in this list is, oh, I gotta ask for this. I mean, I need a bigger house, I need a bigger car, I need to, my kids need to wear the best clothes, all those kinds of things, so that I can, please somebody else besides God. So we need to be able to discern through that. All of that I'm doing is to contrast the way in which everyone can say something about praying in the spirit. And it is praying motivated by, directed by, led by, influenced by the Holy Spirit. What would the Holy Spirit want? How can I make my life open to the influence of the Holy Spirit as it relates to that? I mean, I could do that in terms of John. My brother John, he's leading a prayer group and stuff like that. Holy Spirit, how would you motivate me to pray for John? Pray that he can discern well, pray that he can lead well, pray that he can teach well, pray that he remembers your word. I can pray all those things, motivated by and led by the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Let's see. So in the spirit, sorry, Sister Yolanda, I stepped on you. Let's go back to your version. First thing is we're praying in the spirit. What's the next concept that I want to talk about in this passage, if you're still there.
So yes, it says here we go. I'm a little bit right. At all times and
Okay,
all occasions.
at all times.
In all occasions.
Yeah. So are you okay with praying anytime, all occasions, any situations? Yeah.
Yes,
Yeah.
we should be.
Yeah, so that's where we're heading toward. Okay, keep going.
And then it says, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers.
What do you think it, why do you think it says stay alert?
Just for the same thing about, I think when I heard you just share the world, the flesh, and the devil, and other voices, because of discernment, we need to stay alert.
Beautiful. I love it. And for praying people, we also,
Different.
we're watchmen on the wall, right? And so we're to warn, part of our, response, hey, I was praying about this. This is what God showed me. So we're on alert, and we help keep other people on the alert. Okay, keep going. So alert, and then what's after the alert?
Alert, and then it says, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere.
So why do you think it says be persistent?
Well, when I think of persistence is because I think that some prayers aren't always answered right away, so I need to know that my persistence, and it's I have to also accept His perfect will and His perfect time as to when. And persistence helps me to continue to look at His character and look at His is at His character, His love, and all those things that are going to help me in those times.
Beautiful. Roxanne, you mentioned this earlier. Can you tell us about persistence and how do you?
Well, obviously in James, God talks about persistence and proven character, and that's what's important to him. But I was thinking, as Yolanda was talking and reading about in Ephesians, putting on the full armor of God, and there's a couple places it talks about that. But basically, and we all know the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, we gird our loins with truth first. Shoes of peace, pick up the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, mind of Christ, pick up the sword of the spirit, having done all else, stand. And so when you get to the point and you just stand, you're persevering, you're not giving up, you're saying, I haven't had an answer for this long. And whatever you're praying about your child coming back to God, but Lord, they were dedicated to you, they belong to you. And you quote scriptures regarding the same. And you're ultimately going to be glorified because you're a good God. And so you pray into the thing. But I think anytime you really believe in something or someone or a situation and you persevere, it makes you stronger. It's just like weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
You're you're going against, you're going against, you're going against. But as far as the weight and the things that that does, and tears your muscles a little bit if you do it properly, not too much, but then it repairs and then it makes you stronger. And so it's just like anything. Jeff was telling me, my husband, you know, you do anything, you know, 18 minutes a day or whatever it is, 8 minutes a day. If you want to draw, you do that for this long, or play an instrument. I know that's somewhat of an exaggeration as far as 8 minutes, but there's some proven things where it's like, if you just practice, you will get better. And so perseverance in a sense is like practicing. And that's part of the reasons we go to God every day. We go to him because we're devoted and we love him and we want to know what he has to say. But oftentimes, even when you're really spiritually mature, you have long dry seasons. You're not hearing anything, but you still go, because that's the well. That's the well with water that's going to sustain you forever. And so you're persevering. You're going, you know what? This looks bad. However, you are good. I don't get it, but I'm going to keep coming back and I'm going to be stubborn in God. So maybe, I don't know if there's a big differentiation there with a perseverance and stubbornness, but in a sense, it's like it makes you strong. And I mean, because I can go over to obstinacy because I know my personality. I know sometimes when difficult things have come, and I've gone in my prayer closet and I've yelled and screamed and said, I have prayed too long and hard for this person, God, to give up. So I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep banging on your door because you said to. So, you know, we're human. What can I say? But I know perseverance is important. And I was thinking about that verse in Ephesians, is having done all else, stand. Well, you stand and you let God go before and stay behind, like he says in Psalms. You know, he protects us. He goes, so we stand.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it. Hey, John, why don't you look ahead and look for Luke 18:1. I'll let you read that in a moment. But let's let our teacher, Sister Yolanda, finish this passage out. So we're going to be on the alert. We're going to be persistent. And then why don't you finish out the verse?
And then the final thing says, for all believers everywhere.
Yeah, so we're praying all these kinds of prayers. We're going to be persistent and things like that. And interesting, isn't it, that it's the focus is on the believers and the body of Christ. And so, you know, we're building up, you know, again, the family of God, if you want to think about it that way.
Yeah.
You know, when we show up in a situation, you know, I contacted Sister Yolanda because I'm driving through her neighborhood next week. And so when I come through, you know, she should know that I got her back, and I, you know, here to encourage and support, and a part of what she's doing and the other believers she know. And so she knows. So that can just be an important part of our thrust at praying. Again, the topic is pray at all times with all prayer. And, you know, I have a ministry called Men Praying Everywhere, and it's connected to 1 Timothy 2:8. It's the idea that this praying opportunity that we have, our connectedness, should be affecting people wherever we go. And the way that Steve Hawthorne says is that we want to pray in the places where we want to see God work. And so that's the idea of praying on site with insight. Hey, John, would you read Luke 18:1 for us?
Okay. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up.
Yeah, always pray in persistence. Always pray and not give up. So, and Luke 18 is the whole story of, you know, it's the lost coin, the lost. There were a few different things that were lost and how persistently we were to go after it. And so, anyway, the idea of persistence, not giving up, you know, are important part of prayer. Let's look at Matthew 7:7, and then we'll be finished with this lesson for today. By the way, be thinking about if you want to have a recap session next Friday. I'm available that Friday if you want to get together, and we can just kind of review and have insights, maybe talk about ways. We'd love to have you apply this, be using it with your prayer groups, using it with your family, using it with others, just the priority of scripture-based prayer. Again, if I have nothing else to teach on prayer, I always start with scripture-based, because what we're reviewing today is that if we're not hitting the mark with praying God's will according to his word, then we can't have confidence that God's going to answer. So this is the key important part of all the other praying that we do as we go into intercessory prayer next time in May. We'll talk about the four areas of prayer, two areas that are personal prayer, or the other two areas are corporate prayer. And all of those, in order for us to be, you know, developing fully developed praying disciples, you know, they need to know how to pray God's word. And so this is an important part of any teaching, training, equipping that you're doing with praying people. So when you get to Matthew 7, 7, actually verses 7 and 8, would someone read that for us?
Okay, I'll read it. It says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. Verse 8, for everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open.
Wonderful. This is a wonderful passage to end our teaching on. Again, we're talking about enjoying the power and confidence of scripture-centered prayer. Let's walk into this a little bit. The writer uses three different Greek words to talk about asking, seeking, and knocking. And when Roxanne and I get together and write a book about it, one of the things that when I'm teaching on this is that my sense is asking, you know, these are different aspects of prayer that you might use in different situations. And one of, you know, if we were to go deeper into this, I would say, and you know it, most of the prayer that we hear or that we experience, you know, 80 to 90% is all asking prayers. You know, Lord, would you do this? And there's nothing wrong with asking prayers. However, if you only have asking prayers to discern God's will for a situation, I don't believe that you can get to some of the answers. And here's the little illustration I want to make. To me, seeking is looking for an answer that you don't know the answer to. And so in asking, I think there are times when people understand that they're to ask, and what they'll do is they'll say, Lord, show me what to do. And then that'll be the end of their prayer. They'll go on and either do what they think they should do, or I don't know what they do after that. But the challenge with an asking prayer in a seeking situation, you know, where you don't know, is I don't know that it gets you to where you can understand from God what it is you're supposed to do next. To me, when we're talking about the posture of a seeking prayer is, Lord, I don't know what to do, or I don't know what to say, or I don't know how to respond to this situation, would you show me? Then the follow-up can be, Lord, show me in your word what promises I can hold on to that will give me wisdom about this situation. And then, as you know, and again, I'm just continue that illustration, you could say, you know, scripture passage number one, Lord, is this the one? I'm not sure since this is the one. Lord, is this the one? Lord, is this the one? And so it's seeking posture. I don't know yet. But then as you begin to discern and write a path and, you know, chart a path, you may even say, well, I sense this is it, and then take a step. And then God is committed to lead you on your path. Oh, that wasn't it. You know, and so I'm going to try something else. And then, you know, what about this? And then, you know, then you get the affirmation that it was it. So to me, seeking represents a process where we're engaging with God, hearing from him, whereas asking is simple. Just ask and receive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it seeks as seek, you will find. Well, a journey, excursion, something. And then I think knock connects with the persistence we were just talking about. You know, don't give up. How does that sound to you? Any comments?
Well, When you look at ask, seek, and knock, I've been reading Andrew Murray on the what's his a School of Prayer. In chapter 5, he talks about that very well. It's a good section.
So the other day, I was a story behind this ask, seek, and knock. In my, I was reading it, and then I went to write it, and I was like, "Oh, that doesn't make sense." And then I couldn't remember what I read to write it down. And in my natural man mind, I was thinking ask, then knock, and then seek. So I had it out of order. But my spiritual mind went back and said to ask something first is of importance, asking God and he will give it to you. And then always God is trying to draw you closer to him so you can find him is very valuable.
Oh, that's
And
good.
then the door will be open unto you for whatever it is that you was asking. So with that being said, that part really helped me like, oh, that's why it's in this order. That's what I thought.
Oh, it's beautiful. I love that insight. Yeah. Anyone else want to add anything else to that? Let's look at the rest of the passage. We talked about this on our one of the prayer calls this week. Would somebody read verses 9 through 11? Because again, this is a good way to come draw to a close and talk about God's character and how we connect with Him. Yolanda, if you don't mind, would you read Matthew 7 verses 9 through 11?
Okay, to the end. Okay, because this is outlined in my Bible as the effective prayer. So verses 9 through 11, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?
Amen. So, what we mentioned on the phone the other day that I'll mention again here is this passage is a parallel to Luke chapter 11. So, remind us again, verse 11, the Heavenly Father gives what, how does it describe it, Sister Yolanda? Pick up from where the Heavenly Father is and read the rest of
Okay, it says, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?
that. Okay. So the way that we, so the response there is giving good gifts to those who ask. And it gives some ridiculous illustrations. As a parent, would you do this and that? Of course not. The corollary passage, if you want to write it down, is Luke 11. And let's see, it starts in verse 9. But the after asking and not, Luke 11:11 says, "You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. If you simple people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So on the one side, in Luke, it talks about the Holy Spirit being given. In Matthew, it talks about good gifts. Here's the idea. Our heavenly Father is a good father. That's the idea. He's a good
Yes.
father.
Yes.
He gives good gifts to those who ask him. He doesn't necessarily give us what we ask for, but he gives us what he needs. Why? Because He's a good father. He knows what his children need. So again, this helps us when we think about, unanswered prayer, but it also helps us in terms of how we pray. And the sense that the good father gives us what we need or gives us, provides for us on the one side, and then the other side, looking at Luke, it's then the Holy Spirit also can be what he gives in response to us, asking him. Aren't those two wonderful pictures of number one, that we have a good father? And then our father gives us good gifts to those he asks. There's a picture that people describe of there being wrapped, beautifully wrapped packages in heaven that God is waiting to give, and he's just waiting for us to ask. It's not that he doesn't think we need them. It is, there's something that happens when we know, you have children. I'm sure there's some things in your heart that you would give your children, if they asked you, because sometimes when they ask, it gives you an idea that they're mature enough or whatever. It gives you an assurance that what's in your heart to give is what they need, and they can receive, and they can accept, and they can, use in a beneficial way. I think, and by comparison, there are times when your children ask you for things when you know, I better not give them that, because, it's not going to do them any good. There's many more people who can handle adversity than can handle prosperity. And so God's looking for us to be faithful to him. And the more we're drawing into relationship with him, close to him, near to his heart, this is how I teach it, the more that he knows that he can trust us, which he's giving. He's not, not a God that's not going to just, willy-nilly just give everything to anybody. But what he's really looking for is somebody who is humble and contrite and trembles at his word. And if we can fulfill those conditions, then we find that he becomes our friend. He becomes the one who leads us and draws us into all kinds of, exciting adventures that give our life purpose, and, like we mentioned, ultimately gives glory to him. Well, we've had a wonderful study. Thanks for walking through it with us. I'd love to have your feedback after today, just ways in which maybe we can continue to shape it. But I'm hoping what it's done for all of us is encouraged us to dig into God's word, to understand his character, to know his ways, and to work at developing our relationship with him. And then for prayer assists and others that I share this with, what my heart is that we will be able to take this message and share it with others. There are people that right now that have been walking with the Lord for some time, or maybe they're new to the Lord, who don't know that they can have lifelong fellowship with God through prayer. And one of the things that drives me in what I'm doing and connecting with Revelation 3:20, Scripture says that, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who opens the door, I will come in with him and sup with him, or have a meal with him, and he with me." Part of what drives me in prayer assist is that there are people in our churches who don't know that they can have lifelong fellowship with God. And it's up to leaders like us to be able to open the door to them, so that fellowship that he wants, that will bless them, can be an important part of their life story. So anyway, thank you for walking along with us in this journey, and we're glad to continue to, to encourage God's people in prayer. So fall in love with his word, follow him. He's a good father who gives good gifts to his children. So John, if you wouldn't mind, would you, oh, he's gone. Sister Yolanda, if you wouldn't mind, would you just close us in prayer as we finish up this study on biblical prayer? Are you there? Still there, Sister Yolanda? Let's see.
I'm sorry, I was muted. I
No
was
problem.
on my way praying too. Father God, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for this bright Friday morning. I thank you for this biblical prayer Bible study that we've had with with Brother Thomas, Father. We just thank you for it right now. We thank you for all that have come out today. We thank you for understanding your word on this morning. We ask you to bless our day. We ask that we continue to look for you in everything that is going to be done. We ask for your Holy Spirit to guide and protect us, going in and going out. God, we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank God.
Amen. Amen. So again, the handouts and the recordings will be listed on my website, prayerassist.org, under the training session. And so you can listen to them at any time and feel free to share the handout and the recordings with others. If we can lead this session with you, your church, your ministry, your family, please reach out to us and let us know. As a matter of fact, we would love to have others, you know, teaching through this material and sharing it with others so that it can grow. We're believing God that he's raising up more praying leaders, so there'll be more people who are equipped to pray. So praise God for what he's doing, and thank you for being a part of this study. God bless you now. Have a wonderful day, Sister Yolanda.
You too now, Thomas. Thank you for this opportunity.
All right. God
Have
bless.
A great day. See you soon, maybe.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.